today is a special day, really, because today we are celebrating 5 years of Grace Table. Can you believe it? We are celebrating 5 years of Grace Table since we started our first Grace Table meeting. I think it was on an 8th or a 9th of January 2013. And so this is 5 years. 5 years. And many of us, of course, were not there. But for the record, how many of us here were there on that first Grace Table Day? Quite a good number, but less than half of those that are present today. And of course, I should ask, how many of us are here as we celebrate 5 years today? All of us. 5 years. Can you believe it? 5 years of God's faithfulness. Can we put our hands together and appreciate God for that? Amen. Of course, we had a small beginning, like all biblical beginnings. When I hear our brother talk about three couples, that is God. That's how God does things. I'm scared of anything that begins too big. Because if it begins too big, then it has contradicted the principle of the seed. And the future of anything, I don't want to begin preaching. I wanted to just talk. But I think like I'm beginning to preach. The future of anything begins with, it depends on how it started. So anything that did not begin as a seed does not grow. Because only seeds grow. Bread does not grow. Bread gives men strength. Does not grow. And so, while I don't want to preach, we started small. I think 13 of us, Hosea, and like you have seen, more than half of that 13. Let me see again those that were there on the first day. While maybe it's not wise to count, but I think 10 or so of the 13 are here. Which I think is a great blessing. The other three maybe transfers or something happened, or maybe they were visiting with us. And we started small, but what should, and I'm saying this for the sake of those of us beginning, what should concern you is not how big your beginning is. The Bible promises you your beginning will be small. What should concern you is not how big your beginning is, but how genuine. It's not the size of the seed that matters. It's the nature of the seed. That's why some seeds, like we read in Matthew 13, are very small. You could despise it. Like the mustard seed. Matthew 13, verse 31, 32, 33. It's a very small seed. You could ignore it. But the scripture says when it grows, it becomes a mighty. Not a small, but a mighty, or a great, or a big, or a huge tree. So that even the birds of the air that could have picked that seed and eat it, and I now speak in mother tongue because I think I have been with my mom recently, the bird could pick that seed, eat it, and not hear where it has gone. You hear the mother tongue now? The bird would eat it and not even hear where it has gone. Because it's very small. Some seeds are so small that when you chew it, it gets stuck in your teeth. Nothing even gets swallowed. That's small. And that's how God's kingdom is. The kingdom begins so small, you could despise it. You could despise it. Actually, that's one of the reasons why people despise the kingdom and also the message of the kingdom. Because it begins small. We didn't see anything of God that began great, except we must always remember, anything of God has the DNA of greatness. That's why we begin small, but we must end great. There's nothing wrong with beginning small, but there's a problem with remaining small. Because the very nature of the seed sown is to multiply. And the very blessing that must be activated in us is that of multiply, increase, and subdue. And so, we began small. But I can testify that this seed was of God. if grace table was not of God, we would obviously have closed down by now, faced quite a number of challenges, gone through many phases. We are not where we started, and we are not what we were when we started. Many of us have changed a lot over time, including the content of what we share, including the nature of the relationships among us. We have many relationships existing among us of different levels and kinds and natures. When we started, it was coming together of people who were my personal friends. I knew them, so I invited them. Maybe one or two invited a friend. But by now, more than half of those here are people that did not come through my personal invitation. I have to ask some, what's your name? Like I've done with our brother and our sister, etc. When we came together, we were not very sure of what we were going to be. Now we are sure of what we have already become, but we are still not sure of the more that we are becoming in Christ. We started with a mind of, let's see how far we can go. Let's see how long we can keep meeting. And now the question is not how long we'll keep meeting, because we are not struggling to come. There is very little administration that goes into convening this meeting. Only a day like yesterday, I had to post on our Facebook page reminding us that we convening today. But otherwise, there's a level of royalty in our hearts and a commitment in our hearts towards this. I believe God has knit our hearts both to one another and to his purpose that defines our coming together. And so we thank God this day as we look back to those 5 years. And I don't know what stands out for you most out of the 5 years, but to me, the thing that stands out most out of those 5 years is the fact that on a weekly basis, 52 weeks, 5 years, we have met and we always have fresh bread on the table. That to me is a miracle. That to me is a miracle. And while as we listen to others and we study others and we listen to others, etc., etc., Grace Table is not a platform where we come to regurgitate what others have said. We have, by God's help, built faith to trust him for both what to say and what to do. And I think that has kept a purity, and that has maintained the table clean. And like Isaiah 28 would mention, the table has been maintained clean of vomit. Vomit being food that was ingested by someone, or even you yourself, and was uncomfortable or made you uncomfortable, and you puke it, you vomit it out. And like the scripture says, the dog going back to his vomit, some of those who vomited go back to what they vomited. But the Lord has replenished our table with the choicest of the meat and the finest of the wheat. To me, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. That he kept us trusting and believing that we don't have to become bright and cunning to keep ministers together. Because anyway, to have pastors coming together every week, you have to have something serious going. You have to have something serious going. And from the very beginning, the Lord warned us against several things, including hyping us up so that we can feel drawn. The Lord warned us against producing a hybrid other than the fruit of the seed, which is his word, that he has been giving to us. The Lord warned us against comparing ourselves with others, because we are not the only apostolic table in town. There are many others. But every table has a pattern. What doesn't change is the content, but the pattern will vary. We are not all in brown suits like myself and an orange tie. I hope I'm matching colors. I don't know. I think I woke up on the right side of the bed. Whatever. We are not all in the same colors, but we are all of the same species. We are all human beings. Just like we are not all pastors, but we are all grace carriers, whether pastors or evangelists or teachers. We are not all teachers, but we are all grace carriers. So we are same in essence, not same in pattern, not same in dressing. And we thank God that he helped us to trust him for a pattern, a manner of our coming together that I want to restate and say is not going to change. Only God could change that aspect. The very one who told us that our coming together will follow the pattern of Acts 2 and verse 42 and Acts 13 verse 1 to 4 has not changed. For he said to us 5 years ago that our coming together must be around 4 things. Number 1 being doctrine. Doctrine. The Lord warned us from the very beginning from having a guest minister's mentality. He encouraged us to allow ourselves to speak. So we don't gather because there's a guest minister at all. Even though we invited, even though we have allowed those who visit with us to speak. But we don't gather around a guest minister. The numbers don't go higher because we have a guest. God has built that. It's part of the culture. Because we don't gather around a person except Christ. We don't gather around one of us. We gather around Christ. And those of us who lead Grace Table are like the icon, the representation. But we don't displace or replace him. He still remains who he is, the head of the body, the source, the foundation. Even though he needs a representation. So doctrine has been key. And to us, doctrine, the Bible calls it the doctrine of the apostles, the things the apostles both learned from him and taught, provide the boundary of what we preach. So we have steered clear of motivational preaching. Even when we are discouraged, we hardly therefore bring a message to encourage. We bring some more of Christ. I mean, there's no greater encouragement than Christ. Doctrine has been key to us. And this doctrine has been, for lack of a better word, let me use the word homegrown. That means we have labored in doctrine. We have not just read books, downloaded that stuff here, while as we read widely. But we are not conscious of a day we stood up to reproduce a material in a book. We haven't done that. Even though we refer and we confer with others. We have allowed the Lord to speak at a slow speed or a fast speed, whichever the case might be, since we think that that gives us authenticity. It would be very easy, because we are all connected to different apostolic streams, it would be very easy to just get manuals and stuff and just come and present. It's very easy. That makes it easy. In fact, that would afford us some time to go play golf. But instead of playing golf, there is this burden, and I don't think the Lord is removing it anytime soon, to wait on him, to listen to him. Sometimes we hear half a word, and we have to come and labor with half a word. Sometimes it's a prophetic dream, and we labor with that. And I believe that this continues to engender, to increase the authenticity of what we are doing, because that's the apostolic character. Doctrine is key. Number 2 is fellowship. Our fellowship, our koinonia, one with another. Our being able to company with each other, walk with one another. And in that fellowship there, certain things come into place, relationships. In that fellowship, it's not just general fellowship. Like I mentioned earlier on, we have relationships of different natures and levels on this one table, which is not our emphasis. But the truth is, while we are fellowshipping with each other, there are relationships and there are protocols that go with those various relationships that determine how we relate. And then we have communion, breaking of bread, We do it symbolically. When we gather, we have bread and juice on the table, which we do. I do know that that is emblematic. It is also symbolic. It's also an ordinance, all of that. And all of that is allowed for in the Bible. Even though we do know the bigger picture is eating. But it is as they were eating that Jesus took part of the bread that they were eating. As they were eating, Jesus took part of the wine that they were drinking. And that little portion of bread, that little portion of the wine that they were eating and drinking, he pulled out as an emblem. And so, whichever way you want to look at communion, whether it's have the full meal or have the emblems or both, which I think we do, except we do the small meal before the big meal that comes at the end. At the end of every grace table, we have tea and whatever snacks. But the key is the focus. And the focus is not on the bread we eat. The focus is on why did he institute the communion? The scripture says, do this as often in remembrance of me. So our coming together physically as we do, one of the primary purposes of our coming together is to remember, to bring to the fore, to highlight one more time, to emphasize, to refocus on, to get connected to be renewed in our relationship, not now with just each other, but at communion, we are reminded of relationship with the Lord, who comes to us in his word, which is the doctrine. And then finally, of course, prayer. And in prayer is worship, like Philip has faithfully done very well in leading us in that 30 minutes of prayer, worship. And you know what? Philip has done it for 5 years, just alone. Every day he gets here before most of us, just gets on that keyboard and leads us in some songs of worship. You know, Philip, you've done well. We really appreciate you. Amen. Done well. Maybe now you may consider having a team that gives you some backup. People like Salome are great singers. People like Rachel are great worship leaders. People like Mrs. Bishop Njogona is a great song leader. So you are, Mr. Mwamwea is a prophetic singer. When you have no song, he will sing. So you have many people that you can choose on. The only one who said he does not want to sing for now is Maura. He even told his wife not to sing. He says they are called for doctrine, not for singing. What is Maura? So anyway, I'm just trying to say that in that prayer bed is our worship and all of that. And I like the order of how these things are listed down. Let me tell you this. At Grace Table, different people have benefited differently from this grace. But while as that's a fact, I want you to know there is no special grace for some certain special people among us. Even if, for example, you are not a spiritual son to me, the grace we release on Grace Table, the protocol in place in the spirit is that the grace released should benefit all of us equally. That I need to emphasize one more time. The manner of our coming together at Grace Table does not mean that unless you are a spiritual son to me or you have been here for long, the grace wouldn't benefit you. The protocol in place is, because of our manner of coming together, even if you are a new apostle in town, even if you are like Henry who just came in today, the grace and the manner of delivery is so that each of us should benefit, even though we have not all benefited the same way. We have not all received the wisdom same way. We have not all been moved and shifted by what we teach same measure. But it was not the mind of God that some should be shifted and others are not. Because we have no private meetings. This is the public table platform. When we feed here, The rest is application of the word, and that happens in our homes. There's no other place where some ask Jesus, what did you mean when you said that? It's done here. It's done here. And the reason for that is because this is not a fraternal, like a pastor's fellowship. This is not a network. We don't come together to just network, because networking has to do with the work. Pastor's fellowship has to do with the fellowshipping, warmth. This is not a network, neither is it a denomination. While us, and I know the Kenyan denomination is people, churches that belong to the same organization. And for the sake of those who are new here, in Grace Table, we have people who come from the same denomination or the same ministry. But Grace Table is not a denomination, neither is it an extension of any of the denominations. And the last time I checked, we have about 22 registered organizations that are represented in Grace Table. 22 different organizations. Call them denominations, the Kenyan definition. But Grace Table is not an extension of either or any of those 22, and still counting, many of us are still registering their ministries. But it's different. It's not a denomination, neither is Grace Table like a parachurch organization. But as the Lord showed us, and we borrowed heavily from the writings of one, I call him Apostle, just likes to be called by his first name, one Dr. Segi Govender, the man who, according to me, has really modeled the coming together of different ministers, ministries, churches, fathers in a given locality, given city. And he is one of those that we studied when the Lord gave us this word. We decided to study him. How does he do so? How does he do so? And part of this, really, we picked from him. And he's a man who I first heard say that there is need for a different manner of the coming together of the ministers and leaders within the body of Christ in a given region. We are past denominationalism. We are past fraternalism. We are past networking. We are past parachurch independent mindset and thinking. And he suggested something he calls, and we have adopted that. He calls an apostolic resource center. And while us, the Lord prohibited us from therefore going and copy and paste what he does. We borrowed the wisdom and listened to other apostles and fathers. The Lord did not tell us to do exactly what. I'm not aware when they meet what happens. That's what I mean to say. We didn't go to copy and paste. When they meet, there are two songs, then there's a scripture, then there's an announcement, then there is communion. We didn't do that. We didn't do that. I don't even know whether they even have a time to pray when they meet. The way I know Dr. Segi, he can begin teaching at 9. So we are not very keen on pattern. We are keen, and that, you know, this is simple wisdom. If you want to really walk with God, you don't just copy the pattern men are using in ministry. Rather, you study the wisdom, because the wisdom informs the pattern. The wisdom informs the pattern. And I can explain that because we do know that the same God who gave the pattern for the tabernacle also gave the pattern for the temple. The same God who gave the pattern for the temple, of course, had given the pattern for Noah's ark earlier, is the one who gave the pattern for the church. So the pattern has been changing, so to say. But what did not change is the wisdom behind it. The wisdom or the principle has always been God wants to company with his people. So they must meet somewhere. They initially met in an ark. Later they met in a tabernacle. They later met in a temple. Now God meets with his people in a body. So the pattern has changed. What never changed is the wisdom. The reason why God said build an ark, build a tabernacle, build a temple, build the church. The reason, the purpose remains the same. That's where the wisdom is. So we borrowed the wisdom and we decided to do this thing by faith. Why I say by faith is because we had not seen something of the kind and nature of Grace Table in our journey with the Lord in Kenya. We have interacted with many people, but we did not find a place where, if you are not part of James Bogwa's family of churches, you can come and feel comfortable. We hadn't found that. Neither had we found a place where titles are not a big thing. All we knew that far was respect of person and titles being emphasized, etc., etc. And so when the Lord appointed us to begin pioneer, so to say, something that we had not seen, we had to trust him to fulfill this thing. And I'm sharing all this to give glory to God, that he has given us success. And all the glory belongs to him. We are not special people. We are not great people. We are not mighty men. We don't have a name. So it's only God who could do this thing. Namelessly. No big whips among us. You know, there are people who their attendance of any meeting is like a signature. People just flock. If so-and-so goes, if so-and-so is there, I will come. The Lord did not allow us to have any big names. Even the few that used to come around left. We had quite some heavyweights who would come to Grace Table in the earlier days. And they all left unceremoniously. I don't know why. I don't know why. But here we are, moving on, progressing, raising. And if anyone asks you what is Grace Table, tell them it's an apostolic resource center. It's an apostolic resource center. Grace Table is an apostolic resource center. One word to describe Grace Table is an apostolic resource center. The word center implies gathering. Resource implies grace. An apostolic is the current emphasis or move of God, or the description of the current emphasis of God. Apostolic. Apostolic Resource Center. That's what Grace Table is. That's what Grace Table is. What is God's current emphasis? What is God's move in the earth? We call it the apostolic. Okay. So what's the energy behind this apostolic, the resource that we call grace? And of course, that cannot happen without us coming together. I mentioned at the end of last year that I have a prayer in my heart that would have other Grace Table centers. That would have other centers. Except, I think we have a warning in our hearts again. We don't roll this out like a program. Because if we do, we can end up in a problem again where we did our own will and not his will. I think we tried in the past to begin another center, and it didn't work, so to say. I think it's a good idea, but it was before time. And I think we are settled with this fact that while our desire is present, and by the way, the Lord gave the indication as we began that this one center will birth other centers. While as the desire is present, we also cannot do these things mechanically. We have done enough mechanical things in the past, and we know these things don't work. At least, the apostolic cannot be reproduced mechanically. Remember the five M's? That every move of God begins with a man who has an encounter with God. And out of that encounter, the man goes out like the woman of Samaria with a message saying, come and see a man. And as the man who has an encounter begins to proclaim the message, it's going to build a movement. And as the movement gets underway and things are happening, there will be need for a what? For a what? Before the monument, we have the what? Samuel. A machine. Stroke method. A machine. And the machine will do mass production. And the man forgets the message, and the movement begins to die and becomes a monument. And when the thing becomes a monument, God has not changed his methodology. He will look for a man again. Now the question is, and I think Ron Kennedy sang the song and said, I will not let any rock sing or something in my place. I don't know what Ron Kennedy. I will not let any rock cry out or sing in my place. And I think he's talking about, he's quoting somewhere in the Bible. It says, even if the true sons of Abraham don't worship him, God will turn stones into worshipers. But why should we in our lifetime allow stones to sing to him and we are alive? I think the more honorable thing to do in life is pursue God's will. Pursue God's will. And because we are trustees, so to say, of something God wants established in our nation and replicated all over this nation, the establishment of apostolic resource centers, then you and I must keep abreast with the message and keep fanning and fueling the movement and not go the way of machines, because machines end up with monuments, but go a different way. Our fourth M cannot be a machine, because what a machine does is that's mass reproduction. And it's a mechanical. A machine is a mechanical apparatus. If we would begin to produce a machine, the machine would then begin to kill the movement. But instead of going the way of produce a machine, and I think we shared this in the past, our fourth M, I think, was maturity. So bring this into maturity, as opposed to produce a machine that will produce many copies. Go towards maturity, because maturity, a mature young man or woman, is productive, but does not produce mechanically, but rather produces organically. And so we do know that for a fact, that we are not going the way of produce a machine, produce a guideline and a manual and something which will be used to replicate and reproduce grace tape all over the country. That's not the way we are going. But rather, as we come to maturity, some of us will feel it's time. So you become the man in whom God renews the message and the movement. Praise the Lord. So the door still remains open. If the Lord would speak to any one of us about us touching some city, bringing grace table to some city, then we can do that. We can do that. Of course, it looks like the way to do that, some wisdom has come through, is to maybe skip a grace table here in Nairobi in a given week or so and go to a certain city and share bread with the pastors in that city. The only thing we cannot do is change the pattern. When we come to, say, for example, in Thika, it will take the same pattern. Where possible, we even transport our tables and our tablecloths and our water. Because we have to build according to pattern. And everyone has got a pattern. If you ask pastors in Thika to organize a grace table for us, a meeting, you'll be shocked. There'll be chairs for the senior people, chairs for the junior ones, no chairs for the nobodies. Because that's the pattern some of them use. And While as the pattern is like the wineskin, it's important because the wineskin you have determines what wine you would receive. And I do know one of the challenges we'll face when we begin to roll out or go to some of the cities will be that they have a different manner of the coming together. So they would want us to gather together the way they meet. And it would affect something. So anyway, I was explaining that our manner of coming together, making the point that we remain an apostolic resource center where the men that have had an encounter with God and got a message that is becoming a movement, has already become a movement that is, you know, drawing people from different places. We have a sister who comes to Christabel from Makueni. I was trying to remember your name, my sister. I can't even remember your name. From Makueni. Grace or Caroline? From Makueni. Mary is not here this morning. Maybe she also took her children to school. But Mary comes from Naivasha. I mean, what makes someone to travel from Makueni and Naivasha, now this morning Tororo? It's the movement bit. Yeah? And if you care about movement and how things work, or how God does what he does, it's like every movement begins with, I'll take you back to science or physics, how if you throw a small stone at the center of a pod, of course, the stone, we can't speak too much physics, eh? I wish we could. But of course, the stone, because of its, is it weight or mass? Which one do you know? Because of its mass. And the distance, the height, and the fall of gravity, which is 9.81 meters per second per second. Is that right? Am I torturing anyone? So far, so good. The mass, the distance, the fall, the pull, by the time the stone hits the surface of the water, there is energy. Is it potential or kinetic? All right. Of course, the stone will transmit all of that energy into the water. And this is what happens. Not every molecule of water in that pod has come into contact with the stone. It's just the few molecules that are around and about the surface area of the stone that touches the water. But what happens is that energy is transmitted into the entire water body in cyclic waves. And these waves are carrying energy. And if it is strong enough, the wave will go up to the shore, will go up to the edges of the pod. If it's not that strong, it may die by the time you get into the edges. And if there's still some of the energy remaining, it will hit on the wall of the pod and eat into, because it's energy. And physics tells us that apart from the few molecules of water that had a physical contact with the stone, all the others will have an indirect contact. It's not the water at the center that moves, literally. It is the energy that is transmitted. So while as God may stir the water here, we must have an understanding that we cannot limit God in terms of what he's doing here is going to accomplish all over the earth, including people we are not even aware. I was preaching in Malava, courtesy of Beatrice and her husband. And somebody was in the meeting. I gave some of my books. So through the books, they could see the website, go to the website. And somebody said, called and said, I have downloaded your free books, and I'm listening to your message on YouTube that you preached in 2013 about seeing the face of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And this person asks, how come you have not done some more recent YouTube uploads? When I checked, 2013 was the most recent. You see the way the movement works. The water is being stirred here, And then I'm picked and thrown into Malava, and I preach. And then there's a resonance. The same energy. Let me tell you this. I have found it very hard now to preach any other way when I go out of Nairobi, other than preach like I'm in Grace Table. Grace Table has become the place where my spirit, like a bow and an arrow, is set for action. It's become like a peak on the mount of God for most of us. It's become the place where we can speak the hard things and no one gets offended. We used to get offended in the earlier days, but got offended enough until we got used. There's a time you couldn't speak anything new or strange in Grace Table for fear of being misunderstood. Even though in our infant stages also we were maybe offensive for no reason, wisdom maybe has grown and now we know how to say the same thing in a more gentle manner. But the truth is, there's a movement in place. And I want to emphasize that thing. I want you to know that what started as a small seed, a small stone that dropped in water 5 years ago, is creating ripples and waves all over as we speak. And perhaps now, while us, it's not building a machine for mass production, but commissioning and affirming some of us that have matured in the message to begin to build public platforms, which is one of our 8 points, and I'll come to that later on. There are 8 points that clearly define our burden, what the Lord put on our hearts. One of the 8 points was to raise corporate tables on which this message can be shared. Well, we couldn't do that too early before the message has formed, before we have proof that this thing works, before we had a testimony that, yes, these things can happen. And I think all those questions have been answered. Whether the message is of God, that we now know it's of God. Whether pastors can gather, we now know they can gather. Whether people will trust us, now we know people will trust us. Whether people will receive the message, we now know people are receiving the message. And as some of us mature and take responsibility at the earliest possible and convenient, we'll be willing to bless and send. Some of us would have a burden for certain cities. Even if you cannot be the convener, you can host us, we'll come. You can only host and we come. And bring grace. And I think Thika is going to be one of those ones. I've mentioned Thika twice now. I think Thika is going to be one of those ones. Except, like I said, when we come, we'll not follow the Thika pattern because it's not a Thika initiative, so to say. It's part of the movement of God. And I will tell you this, if God sends us to a place and our friends there did not receive us, God will give us some people that will receive us. That's the experience that we have seen. So anyway, I was explaining the movement, and the movement has been building. The next thing the movement is producing is not a machine, but is mature men. Because mature men is God's methodology of increasing and building whatever starts from him as a seed. And we know that the seed is the word of God. So mature men. So let the mature ones among us arise and begin to look at certain cities and scale the heights of those cities and begin to carry the gates of those cities. Begin to move. Begin to create a highway so that this same emphasis can come in. I'll tell you this. If we went to a city like Thika and preached this way for 3 years, something will shift in the spirit. In the city, among the ministers, at least what God has done among us will be reproduced among them. And maybe double portion. There will be grace carriers that will emerge with a voice that may sound strange, but is relevant and real and current. I think we have begun to do that a little bit. And there's a time where no one was inviting us, plus we were also scared of being invited by anyone. There's a time when we were invited by people to places and would feel so small, and we actually conformed to their pattern. But of late, I have found a lion nature that God has built in us. When we go to some of these platforms now, there's a roar of a lion, literally. Literally, there's a roar. And I think only God could have done that. There's a confidence he has built over time. There's a courage that he has built over time. There's a wisdom, even how to engage people. There's a wisdom now, how to company with the mighty and not become proud, and how to condescend to the brother of the low estate and not be reduced in any way. And of course, there is a fight for that. There's a battle going. There's a battle raging that translates into many different things in our personal and ministry lives. But our eyes remain on the Lord. Amen. Our eyes remain on the Lord who will produce that man so that we don't produce machines. And that man we call sons. Every movement must produce sons. And the sons of every movement are those who, first of all, are formed by the message that is being propagated by that movement. They are formed by it. And they become carriers of it. They are formed by it. They produce a testimony of the same. And they become carriers of the same. And with the time now, our sound is being fine-tuned. All of us. There's a fine-tunement taking place. We are at different levels, but there's a fine-tuning taking place at a personal and a corporate level so that we can become a corporate son of this message and this emphasis that addresses a major need within the body of Christ, which is the coming together of ministers on a different platform, not as a denomination, not as a network, not as a fraternal, not as a parachurch, but as an apostolic resource center. Because it was so from the beginning. Acts 2:42, and then also Acts 13, verse 1 to 4. The scripture says there were in the church in Antioch some prophets, some teachers. And as they, and the names are mentioned over there, and each of those names means a lot, like Barnabas means son of a prophet. Remember that? And etc. Lucius means illumination or a shining one, etc., etc. And verse 2 says that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, then the Holy Spirit said, we brought a redefinition of the word fasting there. It's not just stay away from food. If you would connect this to Isaiah 58, then you know that the fasting is not just staying away from food. That's just part of it. But the fasting is withdrawing our foot from his holy day. And the way God honored their fasting is that, let's go back, Acts. The way God responded to their fasting is that God spoke. Because in fact, fasting has to do with stopping to speak. The Hebrew word for fast is sum. The Muslims still use the word saum. They still use saumu to describe their fasting. And the Arabic language is akin to the Hebrew language in a certain extent. Because in a day of fast, it was a day for a man to keep quiet. It was a day for a man to keep quiet and listen. That's why when they fasted, God's response was not for the earth to shake. Because what they were agitating for was not a demonstration of power. In fasting, they were agitating for the speaking of God. So as they fasted, the next thing is that the Holy Spirit spoke. And what did he say? He said, separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Verse 3. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away, verse 4. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, and you can read on. So this text of scripture gives the other aspect of the manner of our coming together. Our coming together, verse 1, is the coming together of fivefold ministers, or at least people who appreciate the fivefold graces of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Okay, while as in Antioch there were teachers and prophets, but of course when you read on, you will discover some of those they called prophets among them and teachers, Paul being one of them, were actually apostles. And that's why the word sent, they were sent. Because they were actually sent. They were sent. And they were sent by the Holy Spirit through human officiation. We do believe that the position of any one of us in their calling will happen. Yes, it's the Holy Spirit who does all these things, but it will happen through human officiation. If God does not use a man in the earth to highlight and recognize what God put within you, you feel shy to function. In fact, some is more than just feeling shy. Others, because of that lack of affirmation, get confused. So while it is God who does all these things in us, but he does so through human officiation. To be blessed by a man is not the same as being cursed by a man. If being blessed by a man has effects on you, then being cursed by a man will also have effects on you. If, of course, there is a cause for the blessing and there's a cause for the curse. And so, if Barnabas and Saul were rejected in Antioch, the same way they were rejected in Jerusalem, it could not have been that they were sent. It could have been they ran for their lives. We do know that Paul ran for his life, so to say. He left Jerusalem because of the some mild persecution, the misunderstanding from the brethren. But it was not so when he came to Antioch. When he came to Antioch, the brethren listened to them for 2 years, not 2 weeks, 2 years. Daily discussing scriptures and them being blessed and imbibing and wanting to tell us more and more and more and more until now this day when they have to be sent away. So in our coming together, we do believe that God will reposition many of us. Will reposition, will bring redefinition. Many of us have been redefined. Some of us came here like Saul, looking for our father's lost donkeys. And we found more than a donkey. We found a prophet. We found more than a prophet. We found a grace. We found purpose for living. We found a kingdom. We found a throne. We found a resource. We found more than what we had lost. So we come with that mind. For that reason, therefore, for that reason, two key things happen in our coming together. There is building of relationships and sharing of grace. Those two operations or functions. Two operations or function that go on in our midst. There's building of relationships and sharing of grace to keep us true and pure to divine purpose, to original purpose. I know I alluded to these eight dimensions that form our corporate burden when I mentioned, I made a reference to one of them about raising platforms. But let me go through all of them, number one up to number eight. These eight and they are in summary form. These 8 points describe our apostolic travail, what we are laboring for, in short. And I'm surprised that in none of them did the Lord tell us to labor to have a huge group of people who attend our meetings. God is not very keen on numbers like we sometimes get. God is keen on grace. So the 8 things are, number one, sensitizing, preparing, and mobilizing the Church of Christ in Kenya to get actively involved in the current apostolic prophetic travail which will lead to the birthing of new life in the body of Christ and eventually dislodge evil principalities and powers in the nation. You may have to do shorthand now. Sensitizing, preparing, mobilizing the Church of Christ in Kenya to get actively involved in the current apostolic prophetic travail. So from the very beginning, the Lord knew that we have to reach out to the church. From the beginning, the Lord knew it's not about us, draw them from the church to bring them here, so to say. But how do we sensitize? How do we prepare? How do we mobilize without us going there? Except like I said, when we go, we don't change the message. We don't change the message. We don't change the pattern, which is not easy. We have had several confrontations in the past. Sometimes we never knew what to do. When we found that the pattern is different and the message is different, we have had very embarrassing moments in the past where it was very clear that through this, different people have different patterns and different messages. And while as we have been very gracious, very kind, very accommodative, so to say, until we had to ask the Lord in prayer several questions on what to do about some of the things. And I think part of the wisdom he gave us, we continue sharing as we progress. But there we are, sensitizing, preparing, and mobilizing the Church of Christ to get actively involved in the current apostolic prophetic travail, which is going to lead in the birthing of new life within the body of Christ and eventually dislodge evil principalities and powers in the nation. We still have these things happening in our nation. Our country is still impoverished by demonic hordes, etc., because the church has not taken proper position. Now, I'm not aware anybody else was given the mandate to mobilize, sensitize the church to get involved in this major thing. I'm not aware anyone else is, but I'm aware we are. So we are custodians of something bigger than meeting in Ngara every Tuesday morning. While it was important for us to form, but I think God wants us to adopt regions now, like we did the other day in Ukambani, and also Malava the other day in Western Kenya. I don't know which other regions God is going to open. But we have now to understand we are going out on a mission. We are going out on an apostolic mission. And I pray we all come to the understanding that our apostolic mission is defined by grace table. If we go out on the level of our local churches or denominations, you'll be aiming too low. Because the grace attendant in a local church, denomination, or place is so little, it cannot shift regions. It cannot shift people. But the grace given here, I have proved that this grace here can shift regions. Can shift regions. Bishop Mulyungi may not know what happened after Nunguni and our host there, the full gospel pastor, loving us and inviting my wife back for a ladies' conference, and the chairman of the group inviting us for another conference in April. You may not know that the good news of what happened there got to the general overseer or presiding bishop of full gospel churches of Kenya, who lives not far from where we were. And then I did not know some members of our church are neighbors with this old man. But the old man knew that those guys, I know some of their members. Long story short, over Christmas, these members of our church went home. And lo and behold, when the presiding bishop discovered that these guys are around, he caused a meeting. And the meeting concluded with, why can't you guys come and I call all our pastors all over and you tell us this thing? Now that's full gospel church. And for anyone who knows anything about full gospel church, ni wale watu wakunywa maji ya njiani. You know, there was a self-sufficiency. But there are things that are shifting now. And when the presiding bishop embraces us, Next time we do the meeting, all the full gospel pastors in all of that Kitui or so will be commanded to be in the meeting. Why? There is rank. There is grace. The movement is building. Of course, it's the Lord doing all these things in us. It's not us. I'm telling you, I tell you the truth, myself, without the Lord, I am nothing. I cannot impress anyone. Myself, without the Lord, I cannot. No one would even read my books. I know myself. Myself, without the Lord, no one can come and listen to me. I suffer from past rejections. I've been rejected so many times in life. And I know I'm to blame for being rejected. There's nothing so beautiful about me. But I now know with the Lord, grace, the grace of the Lord, and the other word for grace is favor. The grace of God, the favor of God upon a man will cause others to want to listen to him. So there we are. We are set now. And you know what? That's another grace table. We begin in Matu, then go to Mwingi, and see how far we go. My point is, the Lord said it, but the vision was for an appointed time. The day will come when we need to sensitize the Church of Christ in Kenya. And he never said the apostolic streams. He never said the evangelistic streams. He said the church. So anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord in Kenya, even if they're in Catholic Church, we have a mandate to see how we reach them. I don't know how we do it. And I sense that as we begin this sixth year of Grace Table, the time has come. Secondly, we are committed to raising apostolic, prophetic platforms from which the word of the Lord will be resounded to the ends of the earth. Raising apostolic prophetic platforms from which the word of the Lord will be resounded to the ends of the earth. So this takes it beyond Kenya now and goes to the nations. From Kenya, goes beyond Kenya and goes to nations now. There is no way God would talk about nations if Grace Table was a small, simple, passing crowd in which God was not willing to make any investment. But on the contrary, the grace God has availed for Grace Table, my friends, is more than we think. Some of us need to sleep and dream and understand and see Grace Table for what it is in the spirit. It's like I woke up to a certain reality the other day. I was just thinking as I was closing the year and looking at the new year, and I got to this place of, I don't want Grace Table. What did God have in mind? I'll tell you this, God had in mind a place where presiding bishops who are tired, worn out, who have no message, would come, get some grain, go back home, and service their denominations in the nations. That's the vision we have. That's what we are seeing. A place where what is spoken begins to shape the thinking of the church in the nation. And that's why I know in my heart that as we grow, there are certain key leaders in the body of Christ that God will bring to this table. Not by being manipulated, but in their praying and talking to God and seeking God. As we continue faithfully doing what God called us to do, the Lord will answer them and command them to come to Grace Table. And I would rather that, other than manipulating anyone to come. I would rather people are commanded to come. Because if God brought you here, I don't have to maintain you. I don't have to be nice to you. But if I brought you, I have to always remember, hey, I need to be nice to so and so, which I think we have now outgrown, and I think we have gone beyond. So we'll take a short break. Then when you come back, we'll just explain this burden, and we finish at that and make a prayer for the new year and the things we feel we want to do this year and roll out the program for the year and look to God for great things that are going to happen in 2018.